What do you need, son?
Need to borrow your bow.
Let's drop some lead on those motherfuckers!
Light them up.
They ain't gonna sink this battleship, no way.
Verify our range to target. One ping only.
What's the range now?
200 miles, sir.
They break 150 miles, launch the alert 5 aircraft.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing? You're slowing down! You're slowing down!
I'm bringing him in closer, Merlin.
You're gonna do what?
I got a good lock. Firing.
Woo! Splash
board! You been!
Yes, 742 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. This episode of Meet Your Tenant Commands is brought to you by Warrior Beer Company on Sorrento Road. Warrior Beer Company, we've got your six. Joining me here in studio for, I think, now our eighth installation of this ongoing project to understand the military mission operation here in Northwest Florida, I have the Rear Admiral, that's a two-star, Jeffrey Cherico, call sign Caesar, the Commanding Officer of Naval Education Training Command, NETSI, onboard NAS Pensacola. Admiral, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thanks, Andrew. Love your sweatshirt.
Oh,
anybody can see it. It's a United States Navy sweatshirt.
My wife got me this recently, so this is my keep warm in the freezing studio sweatshirt. So
I love it. I'm going to have to wear it out in the 90-degree heat later today, too.
Oh, it's funny, too. When I leave every morning, I have to, like, immediately take it off because it's so hot outside. So first thing, let's talk about this a little bit. Your story is kind of interesting because you are personally heavily invested in the military mission in the United States because you have a couple of kiddos who are in the military, right?
Yeah, I do. So it's a family business in the Cherico family. My wife is a veteran.
Okay.
So we met at the Naval Academy. She was a ship driver and then a meteorologist.
Okay.
And a South Jersey beach girl. So she's home in Pensacola. She
nice.
Loves this place. And then my oldest daughter is a instructor, but she flies MH-60 Romeos out of San Diego. My son, next, is a P-8 Poseidon naval flight officer out of Whidbey. So that's two. There's many more.
And you have, I think, eight kids.
I have
five
eight
in.
Kids, yeah. And then third is Cecilia. She's a Navy nurse married to a Marine. Condolences later. And then Regina is a nuke power, well, in prototype now. She's going submarines. And Rosie's in the basic school for the Marine Corps.
That's fantastic.
And
that's
then
amazing.
Three to go.
And I mean, yeah. And so as a family, heavily invested. So for you to be the commanding officer of NETSI is pretty interesting because, again, the purpose of this whole series is to expose people to what the commands right. do. You're the only admiral in residence here in the two, not the only admiral, there's lots of retired admirals here, but you're the only active duty admiral in the two-county area. What is Naval Education Training Command?
All right, it's a huge command, as you mentioned earlier. But overall, we take the concept, I think, of the bumper sticker would be street to fleet.
Okay.
So NETSI is huge. It's about 70,000 people. And we've got about 600-plus commands underneath us, spans the world.
That's amazing.
It's absolutely huge.
And in terms of, just so people get a picture of it, so much of the Navy is built around the idea that there's a headquarters in one place, but the subordinate command and or training units and or detachments or elements that report to them can be far flung, and in your case, far flung across the United States, even internationally, like
yes.
in Spain, Japan, all over the place,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely, everywhere.
And so you're responsible for the training, not all of the training for everything, but it's an enormous variety of training systems to equip sailors to become operational in whatever they get assigned to, right?
Absolutely. So way back in the old days, in the early 70s, CNO had asked for a study, was frustrated about, the Chief of Naval Operations asked for a study, was frustrated about capabilities, equipment, and missions ending up in the fleet without proper training. So they did a big study, and Naval Education and Training Command is a result of that. And there's 17 communities in the Navy. I touch every one of them. I'm held accountable for the individual and technical training, officer and enlisted, Navy-wide.
And some of those subordinate commands are here on NAS Pensacola, and again, some are all over the place. And it's one of those interesting things because people tend to perceive well, you're the admiral, so you obviously control NAS Pensacola. Well, no, that's Village.
That's Village.
And
I would love to control Village. Village and I go way back.
And weirdly, he doesn't report to you, and you don't report to him.
He answers my phone calls.
Well, but I would think that's true. Yeah, I would think that's true. We're talking to Rear Admiral Jeff Cherico. Caesar's his call sign. We'll talk to him a little bit more in just a second. Back to Admiral Cherico. So instead of itemizing all the training elements that you do oversee, right, I think it might actually be more useful to think of all the training in the Navy minus the things you don't oversee.
Right.
What
right.
are a couple of the things that you don't specifically oversee? Training for air. That's NATSE, right?
Sinatra. Yep, sorry. Sinatra under Admiral Snap.
Can I sidebar? NATSE, CNAT.
It's all part of the test.
ROTC, NASC, NETSAFA. The acronyms are overwhelming.
That's Navy okay. specialty.
But yeah, Sinatra oversees the Chief of Naval Air Training.
Yes.
So outside of air, which you don't oversee, airplanes, except for Schools Command, which is the first step, and that's Redman, and you oversee him. But other elements that you don't oversee?
Navy Nuclear Power Training Command, so the initial foray into the education for the submarine and surface nuke force up in Charleston and a prototype. After that, I've got the submarine and surface nuke force. SEAL, BUDS training, mm-hmm. they own that. And then I pick up the leadership training for them on the backside.
Okay.
And then the last one is Hospital Corpsman. It's really joint training out in Texas. But again, we pick them up for their in-stride training. So everything.
So literally everything training other than those things.
There's no training to command something this big. That's what I learned after like the first week.
And it's been your year in the job. So I'm sure the learning curve was steep.
Yes.
To become familiar with all of these various elements. So let's talk about some of them. You actually have a couple of flag officers who are subordinate to you.
I do.
Who report to you. One stars, I assume.
I got a,
And a two star, I think.
It's an interesting story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Three, right? You have three admirals report to you?
Yeah.
Okay. And what do they oversee?
Okay. So I've got a deputy. He's a reservist. It's Rob Nowakowski. And he, you know, acts in my stead when he's drilling. And then I've got Admiral Craig Mattingly at Naval Service Training Command. Think all accession training.
Okay.
So for sailor or officer. And then I've got Rear Admiral Jim Waters, recently put in as the two-star now.
Okay.
Working at Navy Recruiting Command. Navy recruiting was struggling. We are killing it now.
And, yeah.
It's been awesome.
And that's one of the ones that, you know, kind of even I for 10 years interviewing admirals and talking yeah. about NATSE and the important role that you occupy here at the base, I hadn't been aware that recruiting was one of your subordinate commands. So the entire world of Navy recruiting falls under your responsibility, which historically recently has been a significant challenge. As I understand it, other than rescue swimming is doing great right now. Is that basically
right? In general, I would say we call it the Warrior Challenge group, like the SEALs, special combat craft. In general, we are killing it. As we move down the line and look at our next challenge, Warrior Challenge, so our high quality rates like those need some attention. But we are... Looks like we're going to make our recruiting mission this year, which is significant considering the turnaround over the last year. If I could throw a number at you.
Please
you
do.
Mind. 2022, we recruited about 22,000 people. In 23, we recruited 30,700. In 24, we're about to hit 40,600.
Oh, my God.
And then I've asked the CNO, the Chief of Naval Operations, to maintain that load for at least the next 3 years.
I mean, I did not know the numbers were that good.
Hear people say we're missing.
Miss. Right.
So where we are missing, I cannot ship everybody to boot camp by the end of the year.
Oh, because you're at capacity
at
boot camp.
Yeah,
okay.
A single boot camp.
And that's one of the things, maybe just to help people wrap their minds around what NETSE does, is I think of you as basically the labor force production for the Navy, because you know, you can't just take a sailor and say, you know, here, go do this on the ship or whatever. They have to be trained. And so your job is to produce the human resource to recruit and then train and then get them into the position they need to be so that they can do the job of somebody else who's either moving up or moving out or hasn't been filled in a while. And so, you know,
obviously, when you're running a factory, you have an assembly line full of parts, yes. Okay? And those parts have to arrive in time for you to assemble the, let's say it's a vehicle. But you are like the human parts for the massively intricate and complex system that is the United States Navy.
Absolutely. So we call it the supply chain, but we don't treat our human beings as commodities.
Right.
Right. They're all human beings. And you can retain more people who are in the Navy, but eventually you have to recruit. And just, philosophically, I look at the Navy. Most commands have between 3 and 5 years with an individual. So if you just do the math, you're losing between 20 and 33% of your workforce every year.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to build that production line in of whole and competent sailors to be able to step right in and do things like what they're doing in the Red Sea right now.
And running into that capacity issue is a challenge, too, because Absolutely. If you've been adapted to running low or short, and now all of a sudden you've been very successful at the thing you needed to do, but almost you've got too much.
We're the dog that caught the car at the end of the driveway.
Right. I love that. Yeah. So aside from recruiting, which is, again, one of your key subordinate commands, what are some of the other major elements of what you oversee in terms of training?
Okay, so basic military training or recruit training command up at Great Lakes. If you ever get the chance to go up there,
you've
got to go. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then we talk individual and technical training. There's 86 specific jobs in the United States Navy, and we cover down on all those schoolhouses.
Okay.
So we typically call them A school or C school. C school is a more advanced course.
Okay.
And as they roll through that, so every one of those rates in the United States Navy, the more fun, in my opinion, is the in-stride training that comes back out. I've got Navy Leadership and Ethics Command up in Newport, Rhode Island, where we take every prospective commander at every level, and they get saturated with ethics training, practical training, anecdotal discussions where they really start learning through telling stories about how to navigate the complexities of service in the United States Navy.
And I think, again, speaking from my own perspective, which I got to assume is what other people think, is the idea that you have to actually have a training course for commanding officers might be surprising, because people might assume, well, look, if they get to that rank, let's say captain rank, okay, and they've got a significant command, well, just by being in the Navy all these years and dealing with people and solving problems, surely they know how to command. And your answer is, well, okay, yes, but we can do a lot better if we have a professional standardized system of equipping them for the particular challenges that that's going to carry, right?
Absolutely. Having a standard, maintaining the standard's important. I've been through all of those courses and commanded. I think this is my fifth command. I have learned more from sitting with my classmates and listening to those who come before tell us their stories. And again, if you can use that 20 to 30% attrition or turnover, this is the first time in this job for me.
Yeah.
And every time you're a commander, it's the first time in that job.
And then just one last quick thing, and I knew we would run completely out of time before we really got to too much of what you do. We are almost out totally out of time. You guys have been working on, and you've been working on, a process of delivering remote training. COVID forced the Navy to adapt, as everybody, but it also gave you opportunities where maybe challenging that traditional assumption that you got to be in a classroom, in a building, somewhere on a base learning, where maybe instead we could have you in your bunk, on the ship, learning the skills you need, or, honing the skills you need for your current or perhaps your next assignment, and one-on-one through digital, resources, instead of in a classroom somewhere, which can be much more expensive and time costly, and you lose them from their active duty, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you think about it, if you're curious about something or you have a task at hand, you should be able to look it up and figure it out. I have a really interesting looking 23-year-old Cherokee that you might see driving around town.
Okay.
I'm on YouTube looking how to fix that.
Right.
We want that same principle, natural curiosity, but the knowledge at your fingertips so that you can really become proficient or at least have great, we call it first pass yield. Hey, I had this task. I know how to do this task. I've done it, and we can get back in the fight.
Well, Admiral Cherico, like I said, I knew we'd totally run out of time, but commanding officer of NETC Naval Education Training Command. He is a 2-star admiral. That position is always a 2-star admiral historically. It's a 3-year tour, so he'll be with us for another 2 years. Located on the base, and Man, thank you for sharing with us. Thank you for taking over this massive task of training for the Navy. Congratulations on the numbers that somewhat predate you, but also show even better improvement while you've been on the job for the last year. Admiral Cherico, thanks for the time. And, man, best of luck in continuing this vital mission for the Navy.
Thank you, and thanks for having me in your house. And, again, don't take that sweatshirt off.
Absolutely.